welcome to Focus 314. I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at our church. And I just want to say that I am extremely excited about today because for myself, I've been praying all week long that this message was going to speak to somebody. And I believe that even through worship this morning, that it was already beginning to speak to somebody. And I don't know if you felt God speak to you during worship, but I know that I did. Can we get an amen on that? God, I believe that God is here. I believe that God is getting ready to speak to somebody. And so if you came in here today and you were in need, then I believe that God is going to be here to meet that need. Amen. Specifically. I think that there's going to be some breakthroughs that are going to happen. And I know that it's been exciting even during this last couple of weeks as we've been going through this series on Elisha, a tale of ridiculous faith. And we've had one goal through this series, that we want to help each and every single one of you through this series to raise your faith, to build your faith to a ridiculous level. That we want to help you build your faith up. Maybe your faith is nothing, that you've never believed in God. Then for you, your ridiculous level might just be the next step, where you actually take a moment and you want to say yes to Jesus. I believe that that's going to happen to you through this series. Or maybe you're in a place where things are going pretty good, but you know that it's not to a place where God wants you to be. That there's something next for you, and it's ready to get to that level. And I see that Raphael's sitting back there, and he's already told his students to go ahead and get on back. So if you are here with some of our junior high students, the middle school, 6th to 8th grade, you can go ahead with Raphael and head on back. They got something amazing for you. Give it up for our students back here. So let's talk about ridiculous for a second. You know, you wonder, well, ridiculous can have two meanings of it, can it? It can mean something really good or it can mean something really bad. For example, let me just say this. Yesterday morning, we had an opportunity for our church to go help out Feed My Starving Children, which is an organization that packages food together, sends it off to some needy people around the world, kids, and then actually feeds them. And so, actually, well, you had your t-shirt on this morning. Why didn't you have your t-shirt?
I took it off.
You changed your shirt? Oh, my goodness. I was going to have you stand up. But he has his shirt that says, Food is Hope. And we had an opportunity to go there, and we packaged over 41,000 meals to send to Nicaragua. Isn't that awesome? That's ridiculous. That's how awesome that is. That's just ridiculous. And then, here's what I want to tell you guys. This is something that we've been part of for a while. And this was the most. We had 25 people go. That's the most people that we've had go, which is fantastic, wonderful, ridiculous. But next month, Next month, instead of just going down to Feed My Starving Children, to their organization to help put together some food, they have a goal that they want to do. That they want to package the entire valley to come together, and they want to package over 1 million meals to send overseas. And we want to be part of that. Yes. We're not just going to go to Feed My Starving Children. No, instead, they've rented out Phoenix Convention Center to have as many people as possible go there and help put food together for kids who are starving across the globe. And I don't know about you, but that's something that I can jump on board with. I get excited about that. We want to be able to go there. In fact, we've already signed up for 50 people from our church to go and be part of this ridiculous organization who are feeding kids across the globe. You guys ready for July 30th? I want to see, come on, man, I got like two people. Come on, we want to get excited about this. We want to be part of what God is doing to bring hope to a world that doesn't have hope. That is what I'm saying is ridiculous. That's a ridiculous kind of level that we want to get to. That's both good. I gave you two good ones, didn't I? Right? So it's ridiculous that I gave you two good ones this week. That's the bad side of it. I thought that was funnier when I wrote it down. It wasn't so much funny. Well, I want to ask you a question. How many of you guys came in here today, or you've ever gone through a moment that you can think about, and you realize, I am completely overwhelmed, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what place to go. I don't know where to turn next. And you were completely overwhelmed and you had no idea how things were going to make it. Have you ever been there? Be brave enough to raise your hand and say, yeah, I've been there before. If you came in here today and you're in that place, I believe that this message is for you. I believe that God is going to speak to you through this message. That you will know that God is for you and not against you.
Amen.
And that He is going to provide for you everything that you need. And so what we've been doing is we've been going through the story of a man named Elisha and seeing the different things that he's gone through in his life and some examples of stories that he has to help us realize that we can have a ridiculous kind of faith. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them up to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, man, go ahead and open those up. Or if you have a mobile device that you have the YouVersion app, go ahead and go to the events page, and you're going to see Focus 314 on there, and you can follow along in the notes that are provided for you. Or if you have a scroll from way back in the day, if you really believe in going back that far, you can open up your scroll right now to 2 Kings. Whatever way you want to be able to do it, we're going to hit 2 Kings 4, verse 1. And let's go ahead and start right here. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha. So we want to pause for a second real quick. And we want to point something out. I want to point something out to you. That in this story that we just see, this woman is just called the wife of a man. We don't know her name. We don't know who he is. We know that he was part of the company of prophets, which Elisha actually had like this school of prophets that he would kind of lead and that he wanted to nurture and mentor. And this is an individual that was part of that company of prophets. So we don't know. We can't say for sure who this was. But we know that Jewish tradition tells us who this was. Jewish tradition tells us that this man was Obadiah. Now, Obadiah, some of you might know, but if you don't know, Obadiah was an individual who sacrificed of himself to provide for other prophets, actually 50 prophets, that he sacrificed his own livelihood and his own well-being to take care of other prophets. And really, at this time, prophets needed help because prophet, if you were going to become a prophet, you were not going to become rich. You were not going to become somebody that was going to make a lot of money and provide for your family because you were a prophet, which meant many times you said something that people in hierarchy, kings or whatever, that they didn't like because you were telling it like it was. Like, you need to stop doing this because God is not going to be happy with you. And so prophets, a lot of times, man, they had to run for their lives. And there was no way that they could provide for themselves or for their family. And so what Obadiah did is he said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to help take care of you. And so he sacrificed of himself and of his family to provide for 50 other prophets. Now that's who Jewish tradition tells us. And then you can see here it says that she cried out, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that he revered the Lord." So this is important for us because if it was Obadiah, we know that he was in debt. We know that he was in a place where he owed people money, but it wasn't because he was just going and spending it on whatever he wanted. He wasn't going in and spending it on wild living or taking care of himself and being selfish. No, instead, he revered the Lord. What he sacrificed was for the Lord. And so that's an important thing for us to realize is that this woman is coming to Elisha and she is saying, "Hey, look, we're in a bad place right now. My husband is gone. He was in debt because he was taking care of other prophets because he revered the Lord. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do because these creditors are coming after me, man. I'm getting the phone calls from creditors and they're saying, you know what, if you can't pay your bills, then we're going to go ahead and we're going to pay them for you by taking your sons as slaves. And then we'll call it clean." This is a bad place to be in. She has a very desperate need. She is overwhelmed. She does not know what she's going to do. So I got to tell you something. When I was reading this, as I'm going through and studying this, and I'm sitting in my quiet time, the thought came to me. It's amazing to me how riled up I can get over the smallest, pettiest little thing. Anybody with me on that? Like, first world problems, you know, like you call them first world problems. You know, like, I get all upset about some of these things. Like, I'm driving along in my car with air conditioning, and I get mad that somebody cut me off, you know? Like, I get all riled up about this. Like, oh, man, I can't believe this. How could this happen? I'm going to be late, you know? We get all riled up about it. Or we go out to eat. where somebody else is preparing the food for us, and we got regular fries instead of sweet potato fries. I can't believe this. I ordered sweet potato fries, and this lady brought me regular fries to ruin my entire day, right? It's like first world problems that we have, you know? Or maybe some of you, might be like me every once in a while. You go into your closet, and like there's enough clothes to like clothe the orphanage in Haiti, and you look at all your clothes, and you're like, I ain't got nothing to wear. Right? Is anybody with me on that? I got nothing to wear here. I wore that yesterday. The church saw me that one in 2 weeks ago. I can't wear that. I got nothing to wear. And it's these first world problems that we're walking around with, isn't it? This is not a first world problem. This is real stuff here. She's dealing with something that is really going to affect her. She's just lost her husband. The love of her life, the person that she shared her life with. She's also, we know this, that she's probably younger. She's not an old woman. She's got to be younger because her children are not of age to be able to even take care of her. They're not providing for her, so she's got to be younger. So she lost her husband at a young age. And now she's got all of these bills that are coming on top of her. I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. Now she's looking at this place. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. These are real problems that she's facing. She's lost everything that she can have, and she's wondering, what am I going to do? She's completely overwhelmed. And the thing is that I know that some of you came into this place today, and you're dealing with much more than just first world problems. You're dealing with things that are very real, very painful, and you're overwhelmed. And you don't know what you're going to do. You're sitting in a place where maybe you're in a relationship and you've been betrayed and you've been hurt and there's been things that have been said that you wish were never said, and you don't know how you're going to be able to overcome this in your relationship. You might be in here today, you walked in and you're in a place of financial hardship where just some of life, it just wasn't a bad decision, it was just life that just came crashing down around you, and you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to pay my bills. I'm completely overwhelmed because I don't have what I need. Or maybe you came in here today and you're sitting here with a physical issue, that there's something going on with your body, and you went to the doctor and you heard a word that nobody wants to hear. And all of a sudden you're thinking, I don't know what I'm supposed to do about this. Or maybe the doctors don't even know what's going on, and there's just so much pain that you're walking through every single day, and you're completely overwhelmed. These are not first world problems. You're in a place where you just don't understand where you're going to go. And you think, I don't have what I want. This is not the life that I feel like I'm supposed to live. And you're sitting here today and you're wondering, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Let me tell you something. That's why this entire week I've been praying. I've been on my knees praying that God will be able to come through for many of you. And I want to give you some hope today. I want to give you some hope and encouragement, because you came in here today and you need to be able to hear this word. You need to be able to hear that God is for you. And here's your big takeaway for today. When you don't have what you really want, we don't have what we really want. We're not in a place where we feel like God is working for us. We think that there's nothing left that we can do. When we realize that we don't have what we really want, God, we're going to discover that God is what we really need. Let me give you some encouragement today. You might be in a place where you're overwhelmed. You might be in a place where you think, I don't know what to do anymore. Let me tell you something. God is all you need. When you turn to Him and realize that He is almighty, that He is all sufficient, that He is all powerful, you're going to realize that He's already given you what you need. I believe that God is going to work side of your life today. This woman was in a place where she was overwhelmed. She didn't know where she was going to turn. She didn't know what she was going to do. And she's soon going to realize that God is all she needs. She turned to God. She went to the prophet, which really symbolic of her going to God. It's like, I don't know what to do. So finally, she's at the end of her rope and she turns to God. Today's the day that you can turn to God. Let's look how Elisha responds to this. Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you?" Let me just pause right there. So what we can see is he says, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? That's what he says. But the thing that I love about this is what he doesn't say to her. That somebody is coming to him with a problem, a really bad problem. He's coming to her with this situation. And what he doesn't say is, oh man, that stinks to be you. Glad I'm not you right now. You know, like, he doesn't just blow her off. You know, like thinking, wow, that's bad. Or how about this one? You hear this one a lot. Whoa, man. You know what? My thoughts are going to be with you. What does that mean? My thoughts are going to be with you? Let me tell you something. If I'm going through a really bad time and I don't know what I'm going to do, thinking about me is not going to do anything. I don't want your thoughts, all right? Here's what I want. I want your prayers, people. Pray for me, okay? Like tragedy in Orlando. Our thoughts are with Orlando. People don't need thoughts. They need prayer. They need somebody to come through for them, and they need somebody to have a powerful prayer, because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, okay? Right. So don't just think about people. Pray for them. Come on, you with me on that? Have some compassion. We need something powerful to be able to change this world. And this is really how he responds. And these are powerful words. These five words can revolutionize your life, and they can revolutionize the world that you live in. When there is a need that comes around, when you see something, when it's presented to you, these five words can change everything. How can I help you? How can I help you? That's how he starts. He starts with a heart of compassion. How can I help you? He sees a need. It's brought before him. And he says, how can I help you? What can I do for you? I'm telling you, you go into your workplace, you go into your office, and you're sitting there and you're talking to one of your coworkers, and they just say a small thing like, man, I don't know how I'm going to get this project done. Here's five words that can help. How can I help you? How can I help you in that situation? You're talking to your neighbor, and they're completely overwhelmed with their kids because they're just jumping off the wall, and they've been feeling sick lately, and they don't know what to do. And these five words can help tremendously in that situation. How can I help you? You might be presented with a situation, and you don't even know what you're supposed to do about it, but you just simply ask, how can I help you? How can I help you? If you start your day off, and you come before God, and you just say, okay, God, I want to put myself into a position where I'm available for you to use me to help somebody.
Right.
You're living your life with the heart of compassion. How can I help you? I don't even know if I can actually meet the need, but just help me be a conduit to see a need get met. We see a need in Haiti and Nicaragua, and we say, I'm going to go feed my starving children, and I'm going to help put some bags together to send food off and help a kid. How can I help you? We start off with a heart of compassion. When we hear a need, we don't just blow it off. We ask, how can I help you? And then this is really interesting how she responds to this. Your servant has nothing there at all, except a small jar of olive oil. Your servant has nothing at all. You know, it's really interesting to me that when we find ourselves in a place where we're overwhelmed, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know how we're going to get through the next day. When we look at our life, we don't see the blessings that God has given us. Instead, we see nothing at all. She thought she had nothing. I don't have anything that I can offer creditors. I don't have anything that I can offer my sons. I don't have anything that I can offer God. Because we're focused on what we don't have instead of focused on what God has given us. A little jar of olive oil. This might be nothing at all in her sight. She thought it was nothing. And so many times we're in that exact same position, where we feel like we don't have anything at all. There's nothing that we can offer anybody else. But let me help you with this. This is going to be our first principle that I want to help you understand today as we're going through this story. A first principle for us to help get our faith to a ridiculous level. And that's this right here. Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. God gave her something that was much more valuable than she realized, because the olive oil at that time was very valuable. They used it in so many different things. They would use it on their skin as a moisturizer. They would use it, of course, for cooking. They would use it on their tools, and they put it over their tools to keep them from rusting. They would use it all over the place. It was valuable, but she didn't look at it as anything. And let me tell you something. What God has given you is very valuable. You might look at it and say, well, this is nothing. I have nothing that I can work with. God has given it to you, so it is valuable. Guys, you might be sitting here and you think, I want to be the provider of my house, but I'm not doing a good job of that until I make six figures. Yeah, but you're sitting at home and you're with your kids six nights out of the week, and what you're providing for them is something that will never be forgotten, something that is very valuable. And so stop looking at what you want and start using what you have. God has given it to us. He has given us everything that we need. Instead of looking what we want, start using what we have. God has given it to you. He has created you to be everything that He has designed you to be. He's given you all of those gifts already. Stop sitting back and thinking, you know what, if I just had that, man, that life would be great if I had that. Oh, you know what? I could be of use. I could help minister to somebody if I had those giftings. If I could sing like Rachel, well, then God could really use me. But I can't, so I have nothing to offer. Let me tell you something. This really hits home for me. I love this. Because I believe that God has given us, in our church, He's given us each different gifts to be able to fulfill the calling that He has for our church. We asked Pastor Jonathan, he was up here, and he asked all of the guests that were here to fill out a guest card and to put it in there. And I tell you what, it's so great that we have guests come in here, and I just love seeing new faces all of the time. And I'll tell you, when we get those cards back, there's a question on there: how did you hear about our church? And the number one response is from other people in the church, that they've told somebody. But the number two response, you know what the number two response is? Is that they saw signs outside. Yeah. Literally, they saw signs as they're driving by. And they said, hey, it seems like there's a church there. Let's go check it out. Which is awesome. They saw a sign. Let me tell you something. Every single Saturday, there's a guy back there by the name of John Wendell who's sitting in the back. And he didn't decide, well, you know what? If I can't sing, then I can't be used of God. No, instead he said, this is what God's given me. He's given me the ability to get up on a Saturday morning and put some signs out. And because of that, because of your faithfulness and being able to use what God has given you, man, there are people that are coming to our church and are having their life changed, that are having relationships be restored, that are learning how to live the principles that God has given them. Because you didn't wait for what you wanted, you used what God gave you.
All right.
It's incredible. Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. You're in a place that you're overwhelmed. You're in a place where you don't know what you're going to do. Then you need to stop saying, I don't have anything. And you need to start saying, what has God given me?
Right.
Where do I need to go? What's the next step? What little thing do I have? And let me tell you something. I'm so thankful that I serve a God who does a lot with a little.
Right.
That He does a whole lot with a little. When He was preaching, when Jesus was on earth and He's preaching to over thousands of people, all of a sudden somebody said, well, who's going to feed these people? And they're hungry. What are we going to be able to do? And the disciples looked at each other and they said, we have nothing. But a little boy came up. And this little boy said, you know what? I've got a little bit. I got five loaves, two fishes. Man, he said, I'm going to be able to do something. Here you go. What I have, this little bit, go ahead and do it. And God fed thousands of people, that He did a lot with a little bit. Man, that David in the Old Testament, he was sitting there and he saw this great Philistine army coming around. And everybody was scared of this army. They were scared of Goliath, this huge individual. And they said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take that guy. Because what I have, this little bit, I got a little stone. I got a little sling. And he just moved that thing around and he took down a huge warrior, because our God does a whole lot with just a little bit. Get excited about the little bit that God has given you. And I will tell you this.
that we need to get excited about the little that God has given us, because then we realize that it's not my ability, it's not on everything that I have, it's because God is moving through me. All glory and all power goes to our God, the Creator. Are you with me on that? Stop waiting for what you want and just start working with what you have. Our God is so much greater than anything that we can imagine. The second thing that we want to talk about this morning is when we realize what we have, we give it to God and we trust Him to give us what we need. We're in a place of need. Some of you are in here in a place of need. You're overwhelmed. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know where you're going to go. How am I going to get through the next day? And when we realize what we have, we say, okay, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to give it to you. All of a sudden, we begin to understand that He's going to give us what we need. He's going to give us what we need. Look at how this story continues in verse 3. So Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few. See, the first week in Elisha, man, we killed the cows and we burned the plows. Last week, if you were here, we began to dig some ditches around, didn't we? This week, here's what we're going to be doing this week. This week, we're grabbing jars. We need to go around and we need to grab the jars that we have around us. Because what little we have, we're going to be able to start using for God. So everybody tell me, say, grab some jars.
Grab some jars.
We started off burning those plows, digging ditches. We're going to grab some jars. Verse 4. Then go inside and shut the door behind your sons, you and your sons. Pour oil out into these jars, and each is filled. Put it in. Put it to one side. Did you guys ever see those magic tricks back in the day where like the milk, like they'd start pouring the milk and then it just like kept pouring and just kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring? Anybody remember that? Like that was not a good magic trick, but it was just something that came to my mind as I'm reading this. And just keep pouring. But this isn't a magic trick that we're going to see. Verse 5 and 6. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. Go to verse 7. And she went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. See, when we give God what we have, we're going to realize and trust Him for everything that we need.
Right.
And this story really kind of hits home for me, specifically about our church and where we've been and how we came here. Because see, when we came to this place, to this school, to this community of Eastmark, God really put it on our heart. And when I say our heart, I mean myself and some of you that came along with us, the leadership of this church, that we said, you know what, we feel like God is moving us into this area, and we trusted Him. We gave Him what we had. And in that process, we launched this church from conception, from idea, from a calling of God, with nothing, to launching this church out, and we did it in 10 weeks. In 10 weeks, we went from nothing to being here. Because we just said, okay, we feel like this is where God wants us to be, and so we moved here. And so everything that you see here, man, TVs and sound equipment and all of this stuff and signs and even the name of the church and website and all of those things that go along with it happened in 10 weeks. Except the chairs that you sit in here. I don't know if you guys were here over a year ago. Anybody remember those black chairs if you were here? Like, those seemed horrible, weren't they? And we were talking about it earlier today and that would hit you just like right there. Like not even the lower part of your back, like right in the middle. Wasn't it bad? Our people would stand up and go to the back and stand there because they're like, this chair's horrible. That took us a little bit of time to get these. But everything else was in 10 weeks. Man, we just kept going in 10 weeks. And let me tell you something. That's not typical. Right. That's not the way that most people plant churches. I've got a lot of friends in ministry across the nation. And that's not the way that they plant churches. And in fact, one of my buddies, Jason Patterson, he's planting a church up in Indianapolis. And I'm excited for what God is already doing in Indianapolis through their ministry. But they moved there 6 months ago. And I was just talking to him just this week, and they're not planning to launch their church until January of 2017. So he moved there 6 months ago, and they're looking at another 6 months before they actually launch their church. Because what he's doing is he's going around, and he's meeting people, and he's talking to people about the church. He's going and speaking at other churches and raising support and raising money so that you don't have to worry about money when you go into things, because it takes money to do some of this stuff. But man, that's not what God had for us. He didn't have for us to sit around and wait for a process to go through. We just said, God, this is what we have. A group of us with a vision of what God wanted to be able to do in Eastmark and through this East Valley. And we said, God, this is what we have, and we're going to give you what we have, and then we're going to trust you to give us everything that we need. And I've got to tell you something, man. I look around at the faces here. What God has done inside some of your lives and relationships. And the place that he's brought you from to the place that you are now. And even the process that you know that you're not anywhere close to where you want to be, but God is continuing to draw you closer and deeper into relationship with him. Because we as a church, we just said, you know what? We don't have much. We just have a little. But what we have, we're going to give to you.
Right.
And we're going to realize, and we're going to trust you everything that we need. Because when we stop worrying about all of that stuff, when we stop looking at what we want, we realize that God is all that we need. You might have come in here today, and you're looking at your life, and you're like, this is not what I want. This is not what I had planned. This is not I want, God. And when you stop taking the eye out of it and give it over to God, you're going to realize that he is all you need. He has given you all that you need. You stop looking at ourselves. You start looking at God. And take the focus off of what we don't have. And put the focus on God. And we realize that the blessings are there. Even though it's a little, we realize that we serve a God that can do a whole lot with a little. Because see, there's so many times for us that we say these things. I can't do this because I don't have this. I can't do that because I don't have. But let me tell you something. A person of faith, a person of ridiculous faith, says, I can do this because I don't have that. I can do because I don't have. Which means that I can rely upon God for everything that he is going to do inside of my life. So if this is the call that God has put on side of my life, if this is the direction that I need to be able to go in, instead of saying I can't do it because I don't have this, instead I get to celebrate and say, man, if this is what God has for me, I know that I can do this because he is going to be working for me. I can do this because I don't have that. And then it's not resting upon me. Then it's resting upon God. And it's not because I don't have what I want. It's because I get to realize that he's going to give me everything that I need. You're in this place today. And you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go, where to turn. My prayer to you is that you turn to God and trust him for everything that you need. Can we pray together? God, we just come before you. We come before you sometimes completely overwhelmed, in a place where we don't know what's going to happen next, in a place where we don't understand everything that is happening to us. We're completely broken. We're overwhelmed. We don't have what we want. And so finally, God, come to you in a place of desperation, overwhelmed, And I ask you to supply everything that I need.
Yeah.
As we continue to have this attitude of prayer, just ask you to close your eyes and just begin to speak those words in your heart. Just pray to God, God, I need you today. I want to ask you, if you're in here today, that you're in a place of desperation. You're in a place where you truly do need a miracle from God to come through. That He can just continue to keep pouring out oil into your situation. If that's you today, I just want to be able to come alongside you and pray with you. And you just raise your hand in submission and say, God, I need you today. I need you to come through in my situation. Just raise your hand in submission. Just go ahead. And I trust that God is going to do that. When you desperately come before Him, you're in a place you don't have what you want, I believe that a miracle is going to take place. And He's going to continue to pour out into your life. As you still stay in this attitude of prayer, know this. The symbol of oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And when we come before God, gathering these empty jars, we have ourselves are these empty jars of clay. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'll begin to pour yourself out into these empty jars, Lord God, that are desperate for you, that are raising their hand and just saying, God, I need you today. Holy Spirit, pour into their life. Pour into their life places of comfort that they know that you're going to be with them. Pour into their life provision, Lord God, in places that they never thought finances were going to be able to come in. God, I pray that you'll continue to pour into their life emotional stability, Lord Jesus. Lord God, so that they can speak into those relationships with peace and comfort and wisdom. Lord Jesus, I just come before you and ask your Holy Spirit to continue to pour out into these empty jars that are desperate for you to be able to show them that you will supply all of their needs. God, we just come before you, broken. Maybe you're in this place today, realizing that you need God in a way that you never have before, in a way that you've never submitted to Him before, wanting to make a declaration of saying, okay, God, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to give you a chance to see what you're going to do in my life. And at this moment, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to raise my faith. I've never had a faith in Jesus before. It's time for me to begin to have a response to Him. And if He truly is who He says He is, then I'm going to say yes to Him. I'm going to say yes to having a relationship with Him. I'm going to say yes to making Him the Lord and Savior of my life. And if that's you today and you want to just have a moment of response to be able to say yes to Jesus, I just ask that you respond by just raising your hand again. Don't worry about anybody else looking around. We're in this attitude of prayer, but you want to be able to say yes to Jesus today. If that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand up. We're not going to make a big show of it, but today you want to say yes to Jesus. I see you. Once you raise your hand, you can put it down. Saying yes. Lord God, I just pray right now for those individuals that said yes to you, that they want to be able to take a step and not rely upon themselves, but that they want to have a relationship with you. And I pray that they will make you the Lord and Savior of their life. God, we thank you for dying on a cross for our sins so that we can have a relationship with you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that they will know your love, know your freedom and salvation in a very real and tangible way today, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you and we worship you. Amen.